Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. And today's investor spotlight features Will B. Acelli from episode 88. And yo, what's so dope about his episode 88 is Will B. started out financing a property at 106% of the value. And so what's so crazy is that, you know, at the time of this recording, he had over 40 properties that he was able to acquire by the power of perseverance. And so kind of want to go into his story a little bit and what he was able to do, how his mindset had to shift, and eventually how he was able to become such an inspiration to so many people. So this episode is all about how to go from foreclosure to fortune. Here we go. Let's get into it.
I'm one of the few, if not the only one, that brags about his losses. The millions that I make today didn't come overnight. I went through hell and back to be where I'm at today. So I'm proud of what I went through so I can hopefully inspire other people to be like, if this first generation Haitian American guy can go through all the hell that he's been through and then some and still maneuver and find a way to keep fighting to get and achieve his goals, there's absolutely no reason why I can't do it as well.
Love it. Love it. So you mentioned that there was a lot that happened before you got back into real estate again. So I guess considering what you went through during that period of time, I guess you could tell us some of what that was and ultimately what gave you the courage to jump back in the game again.
Well, sometime not too long after that, all of this is what I'm saying is documented. So anybody want to go and research, they could go check it out. Right. I'm called Mr. Receipts because I could back up anything and everything I tell. Anything I show, I got the receipts for it. But I had so much going on. So like I said, apologize about the timelines. But not too long after that, I had a tire shop that failed. I also bought into a nursing home agency for a short period of time. And my partner robbed me and ran off with the money.
Wow.
Then I'll tell all of your listeners, go and Google search. G-O-O-C-E-A-N, Go Ocean, like the water, Go Ocean Water Park Scam. And what you're going to find is a federally investigated Ponzi scheme, if we could call it that, where I owned 40% of a project that my partner, her name is Liliana Traficante, Google it. And basically, my partner at the time embezzled over $6 million in a project that we were building for a water park in Goshen, New York. So Goshen, New York is G-O-S-H-E-N, but the play was Go Ocean Water Park. So if you Google search Go Ocean Water Park Scam, and if you do your research, you're going to see the victims. And if you read the victims, they labeled us with numbers. And you're going to see victim number four. Victim number four was me. So I was being investigated by the federal government, the FBI. They were following me and a multitude of other investors. They tapped our phone because they were investigating what was going on, because there were other investors that we knew nothing about that were being lied to and were manipulated into sending hundreds of thousands of dollars by our partner. And they wanted to see what involvement that we had. So basically the FBI came one day knocking on my door, and they came to question me, and I was terrified because I was wondering what they came to question me about. I thought it was maybe some other things I wasn't aware of, and leading with the questions that they were asking me, then I started realizing that they were asking me about Liliana Traficante. Then basically at that time I had a $425,000 wire in Chase Bank that was being held, and we could not figure out why it was not being released. And the investigator then told me it's not being released because they were holding it because they've intercepted the wire. And then this is when it started snowballing into the fact that when I'm realizing now that my partner stole all this money, that a lot of the money that I had in it, I'm basically going to lose it. They discovered that I didn't have any involvement with it. So obviously I've never been arrested. I didn't have any, I didn't have any legal issues in terms of that. They ended up, she ended up pleading guilty, serving 5 years in federal prison for what she did to me and multiple other people. And then she was ordered to pay restitution to me and other people. And how many years later, I don't even think I got $20 back from that whole situation.
Wow. Wow, man. So, you know, considering all that, all the ventures and the unfortunate scam situations, you know, take us to that moment where, you know, you were in a position and you're like, you decided to give real estate another try.
I decided to give real estate another try sometime around, maybe it was 2013. I decided to give it another try. Mind you, don't forget at this period of time, I'm still employed. Mm-hmm. And my employment, I was gainfully employed. I made good money with what I was doing. So I've always been disciplined enough to realize that instead of me focusing on other people to invest in me, I decided to invest in myself. So what I tell people today, stop looking for an investor or looking for, quote unquote, a handout. You got a job, right? You making money, right? You eating, right? You eat every day. You get to go away on a trip every so often, right? Your first investor is your employment. So you need to put it in your mind to sacrifice and utilize your employment money to become your first investor to whatever degree that you can do it. Because of course you're going to hear people make excuses about whatever it is that they have bills or whatever crap. We could all make the excuses that we want. But the fact of the fact is that you have to make a sacrifice, period. And if you're not willing to do it, just accept what your life is giving. I decided to reinvest again in sometime around 13. And I decided to go back to Atlanta again and reinvest again. Don't mind you, in between that period of time, I was doing real estate in New York and in other areas. I was finding some level of success, but I'll be honest with you, it was all luck. I really didn't know what I was doing. It was just like today. Everybody looks like a star today because the market is going up, 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 up. And then you could throw it on the wall and if somebody's going to stick and buy the piece of crap that you have. That's what I was doing. So I made me a little bit money and I took that money and I went back to Atlanta to reinvest again sometime around, like I said, 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. When I went back there again, I went there to do a flip.
Yeah.
I purchased the property and it was in Duluth, Georgia, when I bought it. 2726 Cardinal Lake Drive, if I can remember it correctly, in Duluth, Georgia. Anyways, I went and I bought the property and here it is. I knew enough at this period of time to know how to properly acquire the property. Meaning I knew that I needed to buy this property at this price point for it to make sense for it to be a flip. And I was able to roughly figure out what the rehab cost was going to be. So I was able to acquire the property right. Mm-hmm. I then thought that I did the right thing in finding a contractor, but I didn't understand how to properly manage a contractor and properly protect myself through a contractor. Now imagine now you're doing business out of state, 3-hour flight away, have to get a rental car to come and look and see what's going on with your project, trying to manage. And now I hire a contractor that's supposedly doing work in the property, telling me that all these things are being done. And you already know photos lie to you. So when they were sending me pictures, the pictures looked amazing about what's going on with the property. Not until I then went finally a month later to see what's going on with the property and the work was trash. So the $30,000 that I ended up spending at that period of time was basically a waste of time. There was no recourse for me to be able to get this person unless I was going to sue him. And even if I sue him, if you're in real estate, you understand time is ticking. You got to get this property on the market. So I ended up having to eat that $30,000, find me another contractor. The property was on the market forever, trying to get rid of it. I finally found somebody that was willing to buy the property. All they did is smell water, blood in the water, throw me a lowball offer on the property, and squeezed my language, because they knew I had to take it to bail the hell out. I ended up doing that, and I ended up losing a whole bunch of money. When I ended up losing a whole bunch of money, I was given a check for $90,000. When I got the check for $90,000, an epiphany hit me. And one thing that I said to myself was that you keep skipping the process. That we all want instant gratification, like the people want today, like what you said earlier about people seeing the end results and the pull-ups. We want instant gratification, and that was me. I wanted the instant gratification. And I had to have a real conversation with myself, and I had to accept the fact that the reason why I kept failing was because, one, I kept betting on other people versus betting on myself, and two, I kept skipping the process, and I had to keep it real with myself about that fact. When I got the check for the $90,000, I had a friend of mine, prior to the sale of the property, said to me, "Hey, Wubby, you ever thought about going to Connecticut?" Even with this $90,000 that I got, and I listen, I fast-forwarded a lot of the shit that I went through, just because it's a lot.
No worries.
With that $90,000 that I got, I was more confident ever in my life than I ever was, even with taking that loss, and I got my $90,000 because I admitted to myself where my shortcomings were.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.